We hope you enjoy this message from St. Martin C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
I see that there's a few empty seats around today. I think, oh, okay, there's a few wedding watchers overnight that just didn't quite make it to church this morning. But hey, who watched the royal wedding? See, you all watched it, and you're here. So what's the deal? So I tell you what, I didn't watch all of it, but I watched the preaching. Wasn't that awesome? I was like, that was amazing. I was expecting like this fairly boring, you know. No criticism of the Archbishop of Canterbury, but, you know, it was fairly formal, let's say. Now, let's not use the word boring, let's say formal. And then this black American preacher gets up, and he just goes, it's about the love of God, and you've got to get the love of God. I'm like, this is great, you know. And I was just thinking, there are hundreds of millions of people around the world hearing this. I thought, mate, God, just use this. I thought it was awesome. And even Megan, you could see, she was like listening and engaged and really taking it in. So I was like, mate, this is a good sign. I thought, that was great. So, and one of the things as I was thinking about, it's obviously the big event of the week, and as I was thinking about the wedding, I was thinking, we're talking about it as a family. And I said to Janelle, I said, look, you can marry anyone as rich as they like, okay? You can marry a rich person. I've got no issues with that whatsoever. But just don't marry anyone famous. Like, I just, you know, like, because the pressure of that, I just think, oh, man, everything you do is analyzed. Like, I don't know who would like that, you know? Who would want to be, you know, the paparazzi around you all the time and your life being watched? And one of the things that they will... I suppose Harry and Meghan, as you know, William and Kate and others, that under that pressure, that you're meant to be this role model, aren't you? You're meant to be a role model. You're meant to be a good person, whatever good person means. But you know, you're meant to be this good role model and set a good moral example. And that's a pressure that celebrities and especially royal family and people like that face. But actually, it's a pressure we all face, isn't it? And we're looking in this series, we're coming to the end of it, but looking at the pressures in our lives and some of those pressures that we face, and especially as followers of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ here today, is he says, be holy as I am holy. No pressure, you know, like, you know, get that one right. You know, that's not always easy, is it? So, you know, we get pressure from others as soon as we say, okay, I'm a Christian, you know, like everyone's watching you at work, aren't they? And I remember building this fence out the back of my place when we were in Joy Street, and the wind blew it over, and the neighbour and I were helping build this fence, and he goes, oh, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor at a church. And he goes, oh, yeah, that's cool. And then we're building away, and I'm hammering this nail in, and I whack my thumb. And I can remember him looking at me really intently going, come on, what are you going to say? And I went, oh, that hurt. And he went, he could actually physically see him go, oh, you know, like, he was going, the pastor's going to swear and I'm going to catch him out. You know? I did feel like it just in that moment. And so you feel that pressure, don't you? You feel that pressure that, hey, I'm trying to live out my life the way Jesus wants me to do it. I've got that pressure from others. I think God's kind of watching me, how I'm doing with this. And internally, there's that pressure that, yeah, we want to honor God by being good in our moral example. But here's the big problem. Sin looks pretty attractive sometimes, doesn't it? You kind of go, okay, yeah, I want that. You know, on one side of the equation, you go, I want to be good. I want to honor God with my life. But you know, there's that, you know, there's the ideal, but then there's this, you know, there's this attractiveness of sin or temptation on the other side, and that's a real pressure. It's there. And there are many areas in our lives that we have this ideal. There's, you know, what we would like to be, but then we've actually got to face the reality of, well, this is who I am, and the difference that we've got to weigh up in that, and moving towards that ideal. You know, I kind of would like to look like, you know, if I took my shirt off, I don't worry, I won't do that. wouldn't subject yourself to that. But, you know, I'd like to think that there's a Dan Carter body, you know, underneath this shirt. That's my ideal. That's what I think about, you know. But when I get out of the shower in the morning, I go, oh, no, that's... We're not quite there yet, you know. And that would be like many of our lives, is there is this ideal of goodness that we go, you know, this is what I want to live up to. And we know that God is empowering us to do it, but actually getting there when there's all this temptation around, that's a challenge. So let's have a look at that pressure today. And one of the reassuring things that I see in Scripture is that God appreciates how hard this temptation that we all face is. So let's have a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It says this: the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So here's the thing. Here's a few truths just to, you know, make you feel maybe a little bit better today. Number one, you're not alone. Okay, next time you're really tempted or something looks really attractive and you know it's not right, you go, okay, I'll get through this. Why? Because you're not alone. You know, don't think that, you know, you're the only one being tempted in this. No, millions of people down through history and around the world, you are not alone. We're all in this together, okay? We all get tempted, okay? Just okay, calm down. It's all right. It's okay. That's what this verse says. It says you're not alone. Everyone's tempted. And the second thing that this says is that resisting that temptation, it's hard, okay? It's not that easy. It's not like you just go, ah, that's all right, you know, I can handle it. No, it actually is a struggle. There is a battle here. There is a fight that we've got to fight. When Jenny and I were youth pastors years ago, we often had to share with young people and young adults around the area of sexual temptation and, you know, holding the biblical line of waiting to marriage to, you know, to be intimate with each other. And they're kind of looking back at us with eyes like, you know, that's just too hard. You know, it's just not possible. And you go, you don't kind of sugarcoat it. You say, yeah, it's hard. There is that pressure. You want to be with someone. You want to get close. And sometimes the temptation is to go too far. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. It can be done. So we're all in this together. It's hard. And here's what the book of James says. James 1 verse 12 says this: God blesses those who patiently endure. There you go. Sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it? Patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempting you to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So we're all in this together. It's hard. Why is it hard? Because there are inner desires in us that are actually attracted to sin. There's a nature in us that goes, yeah, I want that, even though we know it's bad for us. It's still tempting. That's McDonald's and Burger King. They have nice flashing lights or on very convenient locations because they know two things in life in the Western world. Number one, you're hungry. They know that. You know, that's why supermarkets put all the, you know, the goodies like chocolate and then on the ends of aisles and things like that. Because you're walking around and you're hungry and you go, yeah, I'll just have a bit of that and a bit of that. So, you know, there's that internal desire that is a basic desire in us. We're all hungry. That's how it works. That's how we're wired. So it's kind of like we're already set up, isn't it? And the other thing that junk food places know is that you're busy. And they know when you're driving around like a headless chicken in the middle of the day, and think, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I'll just
go through the drive-thru. Why did they create drive-thru? Because they understand these things, you see. They know you're hungry and you're busy, and even though you're going to regret that KFC about half an hour later, it will meet the need right now. And that's what temptation does. It goes, just meet the need. Yeah, it'll be fine. You know, just meet that hunger in you now. We'll sort out the rest later. It seems so attractive at the time. It's kind of like fish and chips, you know. Seems so good when you thought about it, and about an hour later you just go, why did I do that? You know. So what is the solution? How do we push back on sin? If it's that hard and there's these internal desires that are leading us that way, how do we push back on that? Where's the God side of the equation where we can push back against that pressure of sin? Well, James 4 verse 7 really is the key. And if you forget anything else today, remember this scripture. Let it sink deep into your heart today. James 4 verse 7 says this: submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I tell you what, sometimes the devil seems to be real close, doesn't he? He seems to just be nagging and nagging away at you, and you just seem to go, could you just go away? You know, you just want to have that pressure where you're going, you have that internal strength to just say, get lost, not interested, go away. That it's not even attractive to you. It's like, you know, you're going out for that steak meal, so why would you go to McDonald's beforehand? It's just crazy, you know. There's that internal desire in you that goes, I want the things of God. I want holiness. I want goodness. I want to set an example for my family and everyone around me. I want life. I don't want death. I want God. I don't want Satan. I want his life. I don't want what Satan has to offer. What's the solution? Where do we go? Well, we start in the first part of this verse. It says, submit yourselves to God. Now, what does that mean? What do you mean, submit yourself to God? Well, here's what it means. God created life to run his way. That's it. God actually invented the world, you know. It was his idea. It wasn't our idea. He created you the way you are. He created you with a personality. He created you with good desires in your heart. He knows you. And here's life's big question. Will you trust him or trust yourself? Will you trust him that he knows better, or will you trust yourself that you know better? And if you've actually lived for a few years, you probably know the answer to that question. We don't know everything yet. We've got a lot to learn. And he knows better. He's been around a little bit longer than us. He knows the beginning to the end. He created life. He knows how life works. And the fundamental question all of us have to ask in our lives is this: will we give control to him, or will we try and keep control for ourselves? Because as soon as we try and say, I'm going to keep control, I know what is best, is when we fall into temptation. What submitting to God means is that we trust him. We make the big decision in life where we say, God, I trust you more than I trust in myself. And when we make that big choice to trust Christ, to put our faith in him, to say, God, you are the source of life, not me. We start living for him, not for ourselves. That's what we call becoming a Christian, or we might refer to as being born again. It's that whole fresh new start where we put our life back on track. And often what happens when people do that is the first thing that begins to change is God changes their heart. That changes them from moving from sin towards holiness, is their actions begin to change. You know, God says, you know, well, what about this? How about we change this? It's things like swearing. You know, I used to be pretty bad at that. Sorry, Mum, I did confession time. You know, when I was a teenager, you just hang around with a group of teenage guys, and you know, they're all sort of the language they use, and they start swearing. So it's just a habit that you fall into. And that was one of the first things that when God got hold of me, he changed that. He went, okay, let's deal with this. And most of us, that's kind of the easy stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I said to you, you know, here's the temptation to swear, you go, I think I can deal with that. It's easier to sort of change those surface things, those actions. But James goes a whole lot deeper than that. James says, no, it's not just our outward actions that we can change, depending on the environment that we're in. Like, hello, are you a different person depending on the environment you're in? That can change, can't it? What James says is this. He says, well, that real issue is your internal desires. The real issue is your heart. And here's the thing that I've discovered over the years, is that a lot of people can bluff their way through their actions, but they can hide those deep desires in their heart and not let God in. And one of the things that God wants to do here today is to tap into your heart and say, hey, what's really going on down there? Because if there are desires that you're hiding from God, and you're saying, no, God, I don't want you here. I don't want you touching that. I don't want to submit that to you. The devil will have a field day with you in that area. Because here's how life works. We don't just submit our actions to God. We submit everything to God. And that includes our desires. We will only win over sin when we surrender not only our choices, but our desires, our heart to God. That's when we win over sin. Now, let me just explain something here. I'm not saying that God is going to take away good desires in your life. There are good desires in your life. For example, it's fine that you hunger after food. That's a normal, natural, healthy desire. It's not sinful, okay? But it's how you express it. How are you going to satisfy that desire? With healthy food or with junk food? Likewise, it's fine that you have a desire to be close to someone else and have intimacy in your life. That's fine. There's no problem with that desire. But how are you satisfying that desire? That's what matters to God. And what James is saying is if there are desires in us that are not of him, they have to be surrendered. They have to be submitted to God. We have to give God control rather than us keeping control of those desires. And if this is sounding a bit hard, if you're going, whoa, Warren, this, hey, mate, you're getting a bit tough here. It is tough, but it's worth it. It's worth it for the freedom that comes from being enslaved to those things. The freedom that comes from not trying to hide anymore, but exposing them and letting them come out into the light so that God can deal with them. You don't have to be honest to me or anyone else about them, but you have to be honest to God about what's really going on in your heart. And tell you what, if you've been around church for a while or even if you've watched the news, you'll see that there are many Christian leaders that fall morally. And by the grace of God, may that not be me, may that not be anyone here. And you think, how does that be? How does that happen that this person gets up and extols the virtues of holiness and God and all of that sort of thing, and yet they're a pedophile, or yet they do something just that we can't even imagine that we would go there, and they've got this sin in their lives. Well, they've just got really good at looking good on the surface, but hiding their heart. They just got really skilled at that. Let's not be Christians that get skilled at hiding things. Let's be Christians that humble ourselves before God. Let's be Christians that submit ourselves before God. You won't ever win over sin by hiding it. You won't ever win over sin by trying to deal with it in your own strength. You will never win over sin trying to manage it. You'll only ever win over sin by bringing it to the person who won over sin, which is Jesus. Only Jesus gained the victory over Satan. Only Jesus gained the victory over sin. Only Jesus resisted temptation and never fell prey to temptation. Only Jesus continues to beat sin and death. Only in Jesus is there life and strength and power to overcome sin. So it's not about trusting us, it's about trusting Him. It's about not doing it in our strength, but doing it in His strength. It's about giving Him permission. That's what James means by saying, submit yourselves to God. He's saying, give permission to God to do it. Trust in Him to do it. By submitting to God, you're inviting Him in right into your heart and saying, deal with those deep desires that I have. And here's the thing, just as a note on this, in my experience, in my pastoral experience, which is just a few years now, is that we all have a weak area. I know that we're all sitting here thinking, yeah, but I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't do that. And you're probably right. I look at a whole lot of different areas and I see where people fall into sin and temptation. I go, I don't know why, how did that happen, you know? Because I can't see myself falling into that sin. But when someone's challenging me, or when God actually really puts His finger on it and says, Warren, given the right circumstance, and given a place where you're not in a good place with me, that could be you. And I have to go, yep. It could be. And you might go, ooh, the pastor has a weakness. Yeah. Hey, welcome to the club. You know, we all have weaknesses, right? But my question is, do you know yours? I know where it is for me. And I've put things around my life where I make sure that I don't put myself in a situation where I'm tempted. Why? Because we all have a weakness. Now, your weakness may be different from somewhere else, but there is always a weak area in our lives. My strong practical suggestion in this message is, if nothing else, be aware of it. Say, God, where would I fall? Here's the question to ask yourself, is if I was to fall, where would it be? What would it be? Would it be in my finances? Would it be in my sex life? Would it be, you know, in the way that I interact with people? What would it be? Carefully think about that. Because God can work when you let Him in, when you submit to Him. Okay, so the first part of that verse is submit to God. The second part of that verse says resist the devil. There are two spiritual forces in our universe. One is God who leads us to holiness. The other is the devil. There has a very real power in this world. He's not just a make-believe figure. He's not a red guy with horns. He's a very real spiritual force that works in our lives and loves to lead us into sin. And here's the thing. I've said it often, but I'll say it again. That which we give permission to, we give control to. We've got to get that, people. We've got to get that. Spiritually in our lives, what we give permission to, we give control to. And you might be thinking, man, I didn't invite Satan in my life. You know, hey, you did. Guess how? You sinned. Every time we give in to temptation, every time we sin, what it is, it's like we're writing an invitation to the devil and saying, come and have an influence. Come on in. And you might be thinking, man, that's pretty heavy, but that's the way the Bible puts it. It's really clear on this. But the opposite is also true. Every time we choose to resist sin, every time we choose to submit to God, we write an invitation for Jesus to come on in and have influence in our lives. It's like letting someone into your house. You know, temptation is only when they're on the doorstep, but when you open the door, when you invite them in, that's a whole different story. Any area of your life where Christ is Lord, let me be really clear on this. Any area of your life that Christ is Lord, Satan cannot occupy that area of your life because it's surrendered to Christ. He's in control. You're not in control. Christ is in control. But let me also be really clear on this. Any area in your life where Christ is not Lord, where you haven't let Christ in, you're giving permission for Satan. That's just how the spiritual world works. It's the spiritual battle that we are in. So resist Satan, submit to God, make sure every area of your life is surrendered to Christ, even those areas that are your weak areas, even those areas where you are tempted, submit all those areas, all those desires to God. And what will be the result? It says that he, the devil, will flee from you, which is what we want. We don't want to be under that constant pressure of temptation. So surrender those deepest desires of your heart to Christ and don't give any room to the devil. Years ago, I've got to tell you this quick story. Years ago, this was back in 97 when we were in Ghana. Yeah, about there. So we did a missionary stint, Junior and I, in Ghana years ago. And it is a fun place to preach. I mean, you know, you guys are okay, but these guys were just so much more fun. And you don't have to do this, just by the way. This is, you know, I get that we're in Christchurch, New Zealand. But I was trying to explain this concept to them. And I was trying to explain the concept that if Christ is in your heart, it's like Christ is in your house. And if Christ occupies every area of your house, then if the devil comes knocking, you know, who answers the door? Is it you or is it Christ? You know, so I'm kind of, you know, building up this story and, you know, asking for interaction. And I'm saying, now who's, you know, and I say, if Christ isn't in the house and you're tempted and you sin, you know, who's in the house? And they go, ooh, like this, you know, they're crouching back in the seat and they go, ooh, the devil's in the house. And I go, yeah, the devil's in your house. And they're, ooh, like this, you know. And they're all shrinking back in their seats. You know, do you remember? This was so much fun, wasn't it? And then, and I thought, man, I've got to milk this for all it's worth, you know. So I played out this story for about 10 minutes. By the end of the story, I said, right, now, if you're submitted to Christ, who is in the house, you know? And they go, Jesus in the house, Jesus. I mean, they're just yelling back at me at this stage. And I'm going, oh, this is great, you know? And then I said, what happens when the devil knocks on the door? And they go, ooh, like this, you know? And I said, and you open, and Jesus opens the door. And then I said, what happens? I mean, the whole place. It was like maybe twice as many people as this in this church. And they literally jump off their seats and they go, he runs away, he runs away. And I went, fantastic. They have got this, you know. That's what we've got to get. We've got to get this concept that when Christ is in our hearts, the devil flees, he runs away because our desires are submitted to him. Here's where we need to land today. Here's what God is asking us to do as a church, to surrender our deepest desires to him. And we're going to do a bit of heart surgery here today. Why? Because there is freedom that God wants to bring in this place. There is a freedom that he wants us to come into where we're not feeling the pressure of temptation and sin in as much in our lives as we are now. Where we experience the freedom it is to have a life that's completely surrendered to him.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.